Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm very privileged to be speaking with Father Peter Damian. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
Could you tell the viewers a little bit about yourself? Where are you coming from, and why are you here in Griswold, or in Connecticut?
I'm 50 years ordained this year. I've been teaching theology all my life. I'm teaching in Italy now. I happen to be here again because I was appointed Visitator General of my community in the United States in preparation for the general chapter of the order next year at Pentecost.
Oh.
I have to visit every friar, interview every friar, and write a report. I suppose a civil term, I call it Inquisitor General.
But then you'll be going back to Italy?
My work is teaching, writing, lecturing, so on and so forth.
So it's a great privilege to have you visit with us here at Our Face of the Face of Pro-Life. So I'd like to talk a little bit about Our Lady of Fatima, her anniversary of her visitations.
The 90th anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun, October 13th.
Is coming up, and I know people here are going to be celebrating it by having a rosary during the day, and all over the country, as a matter of fact, we're doing that.
We organized a symposium in Indianapolis for October 30 all day. Expect about 1,500 people there.
Wow.
Archbishop Burke is going to be celebrating the Mass, giving the homily, attending most of the lectures. It'll be very, very interesting.
That's very exciting.
Speakers like Scott Hahn,
Mark
Miravalle, and a number of other well-known speakers.
So
two entertainers. I think Donna, the singer, is going to be there.
So who is Our Lady of Fatima, and why are we celebrating her visitation after 90 years?
Well, Our Lady of Fatima is obviously Our Lady. It's Our Lady, above all, under the title of Immaculate Co-Redemptrix. Sister Lucy pointed it out in her calls from the messages of Fatima. Not a popular term in some circles, but it's a very true title of Our Lady. And it explains precisely why Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces, why she is intervening so often. That is her primary role as co-redemptrix on Calvary, to be the conduit for all the blessings which our Lord, He could have given them to us, and this is the best possible way, because there is no care like a mother's care. This is a direct bearing on the pro-life cause. You know why? The face of pro-life is the face of Our Lady. It is the face of life. It's the face of blessing. It's the face of immortality. It's the guarantee that it is possible to go through it, and that to obey God and to especially exercise the virtues and be pure of heart like Our Lady is a pleasure. It's not an imposition. And with all and all the scary vision of hell and the fact that so many who are impure go to hell for that simple reason. It's the simplest issue. And yet, it's not as though Our Lady is threatening lightning bolts. She only wants to point out all this is the consequence of not being pure. That leads us, of course, to the key point. What is the heart of such a... It's the Holy Family. We see clearly that whenever a family is modeled on the Holy Family, it's the source of life, even if it involves sacrifice. And when that's absent, what do you get? You get the suffering, First World War, Second World War. Our Lady predicted all of that. Anyway, that's a very important point. Therefore, prayer and penance, the essential message, reparation to the Immaculate Heart, to the Sacred Heart, must be seen in that perspective. That's the practical message there.
So she appeared in... Where did Our Lady of Fatima appear?
In 1917 in Portugal. It began in May 3rd. It was always on the 13th, May 13th. Missed one month on that date because the little children had been arrested and put in jail, of all things.
So she appeared to children,
Three children. Two are blessed, already been beatified, and we hope Sister Lucy, who died only a few years ago, nearly 100 years of age, will also be beatified. Anyway, the last appearance of Our Lady was before 50,000 people gathered there in the midst of a horrendous downpour, cloudburst. But at the end of it, everybody was perfectly right. And so then they saw the sun and the stars of heaven hurtling towards the earth, but at the command of Our Lady, nothing happened.
Wow.
It was all reported in the papers. There was no question of doubting the fact. It wasn't the last apparition. On that face was an apparition to the many, not to simply three.
So
she promised a quick end to the First World War if people would begin at least there to do what she wanted them to do. And indeed, the war ended the next year. But the key issue was the key year was 1917. October 13th, middle of October. And then there is 2 weeks later, there was another revolution in which her cathedral in the Kremlin of the Assumption was taken over by the communists.
Wow.
Two militia, one from heaven and the other from hell. But Our Lady made her move first. The prince of this world made his move bit too late. She predicted, however, if the rest of the church and the rest of it would pay no attention, there would be a continuation of the conflict. Indeed, it started, as she was predicted, with the Aurora Borealis, Northern Lights in the sky, 1938, just before Hitler marched into Austria, which was the beginning of actual hostility, though it didn't seem so. People
right.
simply were blind. It was a phony war, they call it. I remember that. I was 9 years old, 1940, and they're talking, nothing is going to happen. Everybody celebrated Christmas. Hitler's not going to really march into France or anything.
Wow.
Poland went down the drain, but then there was a sort of an eerie quiet. And all of a sudden, in May of that year, on the resistance in Europe to Hitler ceased. He took over one country after another, and there were five more years of horrendous war, ending with the dropping of the atom bombs.
And she predicted all of these things.
It was all prophesied. And then after the war, of course, began the real promotion of devotion to Our Lady of Fatima in the Blue Army in the
right.
United States, but also the Pilgrim Virgin traveling forward. There was a tremendous surge of devotion at that time, with the expectation that Third Secret would be revealed. There's still a great deal of mystery surrounding that. But anyway, in any case, there was a great deal of devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, and then all of a sudden, after the council, it kind of fell off, at least amongst the more erudite and those who thought themselves better instructed. There was a lack of interest in Marian devotions, although there was still a great deal of fervor amongst simple
mm-hmm.
people. Nonetheless, now the basic request of Our Lady was not being honored by the vast majority. There was a certain turnaround after the attempted or failed assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II, who then went to Fatima and publicly said it was Our Lady who saved his life.
Right. I remember hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I often thought when I was, reading about the apparitions, Guadalupe, Fatima, mm-hmm. Lourdes, I always wondered, why has she never appeared in the United States? And then just recently, mm-hmm. I read that,
not yesterday either.
Could you tell us a little bit about Mary's apparitions in the United States?
It's clear that if we study carefully Lourdes, especially, I'll say, the Rue de Bac in Paris in 1830, La Salette in 1846, it's a number of other apparitions in France, Castel Petrosa in Italy in 1889. All of these apparitions, in one way, bear on the Immaculate Conception, mediation of Our Lady, and above all, precisely because she's the co-redemptor, she has a unique place in the plan of redemption. She is the only Mother of God. That's the explanation. Anyway, once we see all this in perspective, beginning with the apparitions after the French Revolution, and indeed many of them, we don't know that much about the history, but she was already appearing in Rome during the French Revolution of the 1790s, continuously here encouraging people in their faith. It culminated the great apparition to St. Catherine Laboure, Paris in 1830, a year of revolution again, and then in 1846 at La Salette, during the great famines. There were famines not only in Ireland but throughout Europe in that year. And then it lures, and there's several other Pontmain and so forth in France. Then Belgium in the 1930s, in Portugal in 1970, and there are many other places as well. But once you have the message of Fatima, it's kind of a culmination. Now it gives us a doctrinal perspective as well as simply particular things to carry out. We have a series of apparitions in particular places for particular, all more or less as we were indicating what Our Lady, who is the Queen of the world, for instance, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Queen of all the Americas, what does she want of this part of America?
Right. America. That's what I want to know.
Well, in beginning in around 1940, Our Lady, as Our Lord mostly, began appearing to a humble sister, the Precious Blood congregation in Ohio, whose name was Sister Mary Ephraim Neutzel. And she had no particular high class education. The most she ever did by way of teaching in the community was take care of a kindergarten, and she mostly did domestic work. But she was humble, sensible. So, like, say, I would imagine something like St. Catherine Laboure. So Our Lord began appearing and instructing her things, touching her own spiritual life. She didn't pretend to be a visionary or anything. She had a good spiritual director. He was at that time Monsignor Leibold, later became Vicar General and then Archbishop of Cincinnati, a very holy bishop. And he encouraged her and guided her and proved it. Anyway, it was in a remote preparation for something to come. It began about 10 years after the end of the war, 1954. Now, Lord then began to give the philosophical premises for something that Our Lady was going to ask her to do, and that is to promote her cause under the title of Our Lady of America. We'll get to that in just a moment. First thing is, Our Lord pointed out, first, the Roman prayer had been on the indwelling of the Divine Trinity in our souls through grace. Without that, nothing else can happen. We must be in the state of grace. We must be holy. This is exactly what the Pope said in Brazil last May, just a few months ago, to all the Latin American bishops. He said, there is no point in trying to work out great programs, social, intellectual, financial, economic, etc., unless everyone involved is first of all holy, because God is holy. And that has to be like Our Lady, because all, and this is a strong, strong statement, as strong as any Pope in modern times has made, there is no blessing, not just spiritual blessings, but there is no temporal blessing in our world that does not come to us through the mediation of Mary. And the immediate response to that must be, as in the saint he was canonizing there, Saint Anthony of Saint Anne Galba, Franciscan of the 18th century, made a total consecration, giving himself entirely to Our Lady. So it was a very strong presentation that hasn't received any publicity. Anyway, that's exactly what Our Lord told the sister, and she corresponded. So he said, the premise is this. He said, we want, as it were, the United States to be peaceful and prosperous, a leader amongst the nation. But what people must realize is the seed of peace is not found outside oneself, like political action, finance, money, intellectual fame, and so on. He says it's within us, and that's holiness. And the seed of destruction, of violence, terror, all the rest, is also within it. It's the absence of holiness.
It's all our fault.
Nothing else will work if that is there.
So let me take a break.
All right.
And we're going to see a really exciting trailer for an exciting initiative that's happening in the United States that I hope we can tie into Our Lady of America.
Good. All right.
And we'll be right back and talk a little bit more about Our Lady of America. We'll take a break.
Since the dawn of man, God has used 40 days to bring about major transformation in towns, in cities, in nations, and throughout the world. Noah was transformed by 40 days of rain. Moses was transformed by 40 days on the mountain. Jesus was transformed by 40 days in the desert. The disciples were transformed by 40 days following Christ's resurrection. This fall, it will happen again as communities unite together to transform America. Through 40 days of prayer and fasting, 40 days of constant vigil, 40 days of community outreach, 40 days that will mark the beginning of the end of abortion in America.
Thanks for coming back. That trailer is so exciting, and the 40 Days for Life campaign is really exciting too, because just as you were speaking about, you know, all these things that we'd like to see in our country doesn't come from us. It comes from from outside of us. It comes from within us, and asking God and being holy and asking Him to help us out here. Yeah. And we're just human. We can't do
That's true.
But through the intercessions of Mary,
a lady wants to help us.
And it blows my mind that she came to the United States in the 50s. And what specifically did she ask, Sister Ephraim?
After Our Lady appeared, Our Lord told her, Our Lady is going to come to you now, and she has a very special task. And the special task consisted, of course, of promoting the holiness, the sanctity, and the purity of the family, so that every family in the United States would reflect the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In fact, after Our Lady came and taught, then St. Joseph came several times.
Wow.
And to explain the exact relationship on his part to Our Lady and our Lord. Now, the specific task is, of course, to make the whole country a sanctuary of Our Lady by establishing solid family life amongst the entire population. In order for this, as it were, she wanted the bishops to enthrone a statue of herself under the title of Our Lady of America. Our Lady of America is Our Lady of the Holy Family. In the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington. And then, as it were, from not simply there, from that point, as it were, transformed the entire country into a sanctuary. That is what a country is, a genuine sanctuary. And the chamber of paradise. And this in order also that the influence of the United States, especially at that time, would incline other lands, especially in Western Europe,
to reverse
the trend to impurity, the source of violence. For this, faith is necessary, faith in Jesus, faith in the cross. If we don't want the cross of Jesus, then we're going to be miserable with the crosses that we have produced from our own impurity. Our Lord pointed this out. Faith, the natural, as it were, seed ground of faith in order to appreciate the beauty of purity is the family. If the family is not sound, then there will be no faith. If there is no faith, there is no fidelity. If there is no fidelity, there is no credibility. And we become, as the English philosopher of 400 years ago, Hobbes, said, homo homini lupus. Man is a wolf, a wolf to his neighbor. Is out to get his neighbor. And it's exactly what is happening throughout the former Christian. Anyway, it's still not too late, but Our Lady in her last apparition in 1984 pointed out she was disappointed, especially in the lack of response on the part of the clergy and the part of the intellectuals amongst Catholics to her request. They said, it's not that I want to threaten light, but I'm simply trying to point out the logic of the situation. If, and this is the point she made, if the United States does this, even if other nations do not follow suit, in the coming Holocaust, nuclear, that was referred to in that way, the United States would suffer no harm. But if the United States didn't do it, if the other nations imitated along, then all the threats, the violence, the terrorism would be that would be gotten rid of very, very quickly. But if the United States didn't do it, well, then it would be a tremendous disaster.
Yeah, Bobby, it's amazing her timing, because you said she first appeared in the 50s, and her message was, you know, purity, the family. Mm-hmm. And right after that was when we first saw contraception, you know,
that's
totally
right.
accepted in the United States,
that's
which,
right.
which divorce followed, and then abortion,
then euthanasia,
and then all of this
homosexual
stuff,
marriage,
all these horrible
everything,
things.
And then,
gave us the warning plenty of time,
and
we didn't listen.
Moral violence leads to physical violence. That's always been the case. But however, initially Archbishop Leibold did make the statue, did coin the medal. Give his approval to the publication of the messages. And Archbishop Burke recently has issued a letter to all bishops saying that the visions and the messages are absolutely authentic. I studied all of them. I wrote a little piece that was put on websites, and it was quoted by the Archbishop in his letter to the other bishops. There is no question at all. Although the language is simple, anybody can read it, the message is profound. It's not just do this or don't do that, etc. The commands are situated in such a way that a person who is sincere, of good faith, yes, indeed, that is the way it is, and can understand what Our Lady has been trying to do and what specifically we as a nation can contribute to the common good of the entire human family. I think it's very important to note one thing. People talk about all of these other things, but I will tell you this, that without sound families, there won't be any life. I don't know any other way of getting babies. If you don't have babies, you're going to disappear from the face of the earth. The one other thing that Our Lady remarked in the last message, but he said, those few who do heed it in one way or another, they will continue, as it were, once the disaster is over, they will continue, as it were, to prosper. They will not be abandoned. That's a very interesting observation as well.
So it does pay to heed her warning.
I would think so.
The timing now.
There are a number of bishops who are sitting up and taking a note. Think that indeed, these messages are prophetic, and that it's late in the day, but it's still not too late to enthrone the statue of Our Lady of America in the Basilica in Washington. I think we're very close.
They have a chapel dedicated
The chapel, yes, but there's no statue.
But I mean, how simple? Just put the statue in the chapel. Yeah. It's a beautiful chapel too.
In those days, Archbishop Leibold was highly respected.
Yeah.
But again, when he died as it were. And practically no interest survived until just recently.
But the timing is perfect, because right now we're fighting for families. We're fighting
the family, and now we're trying to fight the whole world.
Right.
It's obvious to many people that there has to be some other solution.
Right, we really need to.
You can't keep escalating the armed conflict without a potential, major potential tragedy for the whole world. Of course, Our Lady indicated that at Fatima,
that
unless her message were heeded, whole nations would disappear from the face of the earth.
So tell us a little bit about, you say Bishop Archbishop Burke. Burkhead
he's a very fine I think he's a very holy bishop myself, and he's also very intelligent. He has a very high position. Besides being Archbishop of St. Louis, he has a very high position on the highest tribunal of the church.
Senatura
Apostolica in Rome. He is on that commission of bishops and cardinals who ultimately set policy and decide cases. But he's also a very good scholar, and he's very methodical and he's very patient. He looks into all the angles, and before he issued the letter, he made sure that the potential source of opposition would come on board.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them, given an opinion, and there's no basis for objecting to what the visions are authentic. The messages are authentic. No doubt about that.
And tell us a little bit about what happened on the 6th anniversary of the September 11th, just a couple days ago.
I was in New York for the occasion. We arrived the evening before. Interviewed the lady that organized from New Jersey that had organized the celebration in honor of Our Lady of America in 3 weeks, no less.
Wow.
It would seem that there was abundant help from heaven. All the details fit together. She was brought over. Our Lady was brought over from New Jersey and placed in a prominent place in the old St. Peter's Cathedral. That's the oldest church in New York State, down near the World Trade Center,
right.
Just across the street. It was a very good location. A great many people were interested. The next day, of course, there were a number of masses. There were a lot of people coming there and looking to see the politicians. The governor of the state of New York was there for the occasions, and other people. But in the morning she was in the church. Then she was out on the portico there. It's an old-fashioned church with steep steps going up with a Greek facade and columns. She was there as looking out over the disaster area, and you'd be amazed how many people stopped to ask questions. So anyway, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, got ready as it were after the Divine Mercy prayer. to take her uptown in the fire trucks. One from Newark. It was a classic model, 1950s. A beautiful
thing. Oh, wow. That's appropriate.
The escort was a hook and ladder from the New York City Fire Department.
Wow.
We had the police and the firemen all enthusiastically participating. So naturally, Our Lady got first-class treatment going up there. But the interesting thing was that whereas the media didn't take that much interest in it at all, it didn't matter, the procession in this fashion was worth 10 write-ups in the papers. They went through the West Side. If you know anything about the West Side in New York after you leave the World Trade Center, I mean, it's pretty run down, back of the porch. And you see these people, they haven't seen anything like a procession probably the last 100 years. I saw one man watching with a fire truck going slow, a procession of the firemen all dressed in their finest. I was in one of the cars behind this one man, and looking around, seeing what's happened. And he jumped like this. He looked at the lady. He shouted out, but there were old people there blessing themselves
people flashing their
cameras to get a picture. Anyway, somehow or other, it got onto the Spirit Daily. I think there must have been a link with Air Maria. And people heard that Our Lady of America was going to St. Patrick's Cathedral to make a visit. So by the time we got there, it took about an hour or so for it. They went slowly up through the streets. We went across 56th Street and came down Fifth Avenue. And as we got in front of the bazaar, there was a huge crowd of people outside waiting.
That is so exciting.
Came in, the mass was just ending, and the rector of the mass, I've forgotten his name now. They brought her over to the prom on the right of the main altar, and he had a little greeting, and there might have been 200 or 300 people there.
That is so exciting. Mm. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that when you look in the mirror the next time, you'll realize yours is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.